All right, guys, welcome to episode 100 of the Somewhere podcast, where we'll be sharing highlights from our recent live show at the Pavilion Theatre in Glasgow, where we are joined by guests including Greg Hemphill, Crystal MacArthur-Boyd and Raymond Mearns. It was an absolutely incredible night, and we can't think of a better way than to celebrate 100 episodes than to share the footage with you guys. If you would like to see the whole show, it is available on Patreon, where you can sign up for as little as £3 a month, get access to the whole show, including some incredible behind-the-scenes footage from the night. You'll also get access to all our previous 5 live shows and an extra bonus episode once every 2 weeks. There's over 30 hours of bonus content on there for you to enjoy. Thank you so much to everybody who has signed up as a patron already. It's helped us keep going and keep growing to 100 episodes and being able to do amazing shows at the Pavilion like we've done last week. So thank you to everybody who has signed up. Hopefully see you somewhere you there in future. And aside from that, guys, enjoy today's 100th episode of the Somewhere podcast live from the Pavilion Theatre. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Somewhere live in the Pavilion. Please welcome to the stage your hosts, it's Drew McPherson, Stephen Buchanan, and Mark Jennings.
Hello.
Hello. Hiya.
Thank you very much. Hello, Glasgow.
There you go, huh? This is nice.
Hey.
Hi,
Pavilion, eh?
Pavilion?
It is just a chat.
Yeah. It's not.
We didn't
all
say
laugh.
It's going to be all laugh. All right.
Just thinking, man. He's all right up the top there, eh?
See, it's a nice theatre, this, right? It's not exactly the King's, which I've played. I don't know if I mentioned that before. But, you know, so this is nice and intimate for me. Yeah. You know, for you guys, it's probably a bit scary, but yeah.
I'm shy.
Well, I've played it. Have you played the Kings?
I've never played the Kings.
No. You played it yesterday, didn't you?
Yeah. Five minutes as part of a gala. I think that's as good as doing your own ticketed hour-long show. Just as good.
Yeah, I went to see Aladdin at the Kings.
Did they get you up or anything? Or?
They did. I think I've got a vague memory of I think they thought I was sick.
Well, they were bang on the money there.
I think they thought I was a sick kid, and they're like, "Oh, let's get him up," and then.
Sick kid as in like you got bussed in, or as in you were sick at the gig?
Like last week of my life.
Yeah. Like I make a wish sort of situation.
Make a wish,
yeah.
And then they got me up and now he's just weird. He's just awkward. This is nice, though, isn't it?
I've been on stage at the Pavilion before, but to be fair, I don't really remember much about it because it was a Peter Powers gig and he hypnotised me. So, but now it's lovely to be here. Thank you so much for everybody coming out. It's absolutely, we've got a cracking night ahead for you. But before we get started, we're just going to have a wee chat and find out what's come under the boil, basically.
What's going on? Steve, you in the wings, you were telling us that you were swearing in your sleep last night.
I was listening out for my fiance's laugh there. She told me that I was swearing in my sleep all night.
So what were you saying?
I was saying, oh, fucking fuck, fuck.
They're pretty fuck standard swear words, yeah. To be fair.
I was like tossing and turning, going, fucking shit, fuck.
Well. She must worry that you're going to cancel the wedding if that's how you're behaving in your sleep, surely.
I mean, it must be about this. I must have been nervous about this. Yeah, I don't think it's anything to do with the wedding, but... fuck.
Awkward pause, yeah.
Have you ever sworn in your sleep, do you think? That's not a normal thing, is it?
I don't know. I, some people wear their Fitbits, don't they? And like, you can sort of record... records what you're doing
it's
at
like
night.
It's farts, usually, not... Fuck, fuck, fuck.
If you had a kid and like you recorded it and that's what they were saying, you're like, fuck, we need to get real help with this fucked up kid that we're raising. It's like start of a horror movie or something.
Yeah, this guy's possessed. We need to get the priest in immediately. Has anyone swore in their sleep? Does anyone know? Okay, wow, that was... The silence was deafening there, fuck me.
It's good, because normally when Steve tells a story, it's just me and Stuart that are confused about it, but it's good to see 1,100 people just like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I think that's normal, isn't it?
Huh? You what? Snore. Yeah, I do that.
Snore, not swore. Oh, yeah. It's brought
that's
her own jokes.
She's
that's
trying
good.
To get going, yeah.
She was like, I don't have faith in these guys. I need to come prepared. With my own punchlines. We've got some merch at the front.
Please welcome to stage our first guest, that woman that just shouted out.
Snore, don't swore. That's good, man. We should get that in a t-shirt.
I was only going to say, I was worried that people were going to fall asleep, you know, at a gig. That's a problem.
I was worried you were going to fall asleep at this gig.
I went to see Mary Lane's show the other night, and it was a great show, but a guy did fall asleep. He was so pissed that he fell asleep, and she was recording it, and he was talking in that because he was pissed, but then he fell asleep, and like, right, it won't be a problem. And then he fell on the guy next to him, and then the staff had to, like, airlift him at the venue. And it was like the most seamless piece of security work I've ever seen. Like one person pulled, it was like the opposite of a prank. Someone pulled the chair and then they lifted him out like a crane. And no one even saw. It was fucking amazing.
I think someone fell asleep at my show once. He was just telling me to fuck off. So it must have been... he was heckling me quite a lot.
You shit, mate.
Yeah, that guy's asleep, actually, up there. That guy swears in his sleep, he must be.
I wonder if that woman over there was asleep when she said that. No, it's cool. But yeah, actually, so we've obviously got the stage design here that we normally have in the studio. I brought it up today. I had to bring it up in a van. My set. I'd done it all the day. I brought it up. But the thing is, we done the Glee across the road last Easter Sunday, right? And I basically did the exact same thing then, right? But I phoned this van company near my house, right? And last year, I remember phoning them. And I said to the guy, can I come on Sunday and get the stuff? He's like, I ain't bother. We're open every day. I was like, cool. So I go down on Easter Sunday last year. And they were shut. And I phoned them back, and I'm like, all right, I'm here at the moment, and you're shut. And he goes, aye, it's Easter Sunday. So a couple of days ago, I phoned them back, and I'm like, all right, I'm just wondering how early I need to get the van, because I need it for Sunday. And he went, oh, we're open every day. So I used a different van company, basically, is what I'm saying, to get the place up. But
it looked crazy when I arrived earlier and there was like a big truck load. It looked like we were doing fucking Mamma Mia or something up here. It's like, we're just cunts talking. Like, how? Three mics, no?
Are the production values not? Were you saying Harry Houdini played here once or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, and this. Yeah, apparently Harry Houdini played here and he got locked in the toilets. You can't beat that, right?
That's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
What's been happening with you, Stu?
What have I been doing? Talking to sleep, my dog woke me up this morning. She sneezed in my left eye and then opened my eyes and then she sneezed in my right eye. That's the day I'm having. Tough week. I forgot to tell you, so I thought you'd enjoy this. I told a sordid tale about being in Benidorm last week on the Patreon.
Yes.
That I would not care to regurgitate at the pavilion. But I was getting slagged.
Can we give the Spark Notes version or whatever?
I was in a bar last night. Non-ticketed event, I'm just having a drink, and then it turns out there's a Star Wars sex on Segways show. Which Peter Powers talks a big game, but I don't think he could match that level. Anyway, yeah, I was getting slagged in the airport queue, I forgot to tell you. I got off the plane, and I was basically getting... It's my ready era, I was getting slagged so much in this queue, because I was the only cunt wearing like a big coat. And everyone else... I was like, I wanted to be like, yeah, we all came from Edinburgh, though. It's fucking freezing. And then, like, the problem was I was getting slagged, but because of the queue snakes round, every bend I was getting slagged. So I had to then, like, steel myself for the comeback for the next one. Because I was, to be fair, it was a big coat. I looked like fucking Arsene Wenger, you know, and this everyone else was, like, shorts and T-shirt. But, you know, it was like the Edinburgh to Alicante flight, so, like, everyone's, like, on a stag to whatever. Like, everyone thinks they're a comedian on this plane, and I include myself in that. And they were just slagging me. I was like, oh, where the fuck are you going? Arctic? And I'm like, oh, very good. We're all laughing. But, like, the fifth time a snake drowned, he'd, like, ran out of patter. So he was like, oh, where are you going, Arctic? Oh, you know, still get your fucking coat on, you know, cold. And by the last time, he just went, should have gone to Specsavers. I was like, what? What, to buy a pair of fucking shorts you can't? What are you talking about?
I like the fact there's another couple of turns where you could think up more critiques for the shite joke each bit.
Yeah, well, obviously I didn't say any of this because you sound rattled, which I was, and I couldn't let him know that I was rattled by his shite part.
Did you say anything back now?
No, I was just like, oh yeah, great.
Yeah.
Very, very amusing.
The one who run the risk of like Charlie Nicholas in that video was like, you
yeah,
should have...
you should also go to Specsavers then. You're not even wearing your coat.
What would you wear on a flight, Steve? What's your flight attire?
Joggies.
Comfort for comfort.
Aye.
You're very smart tonight, by the way, can I just say?
Thank you.
This is Steve's audition to host The One Show, if you've not...
Right, that was too big a laugh. Fuck you guys. What the fuck?
It's giving Jason Manford's on this.
This is what I wore the last time I was in the pavilion.
What were you calling them again?
Genos.
Genos. That's a Gino DeCampo trouser wear range that is...
It's a mix between jeans and chinos. It's very clever.
Yeah, it's for the thinking man's jeggings.
Yes.
Did they only do them in kid sizes?
Baby girl.
What the fuck? This is what I was dreaming about last night. I was telling you to fuck off, actually. I don't know if that came across. I like to make a wee effort when it's
like
a big occasion.
We saw you get your kilt fitted, of course. You're looking very smart.
Speaking of
smart... I spelled coleslaw on my shoes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Just like to bring... He was eating coleslaw with chopsticks backstage.
I was, yeah.
And dropped it all down himself.
Yeah, in some cultures, that's a great sign of respect.
Not this one.
No.
We were talking before, because I think the last time generally that I was in the pavilion, I think the only other time I was here was went to Panto, with the school when I was younger. Because my parents never took me to Panto then, but I think we went to the school once, it's the only time I remember being here. But there's a lot of that kind of school trips and that sort of stuff. You'd just go to this thing and be dragged to it, and you're like, why the fuck am I here?
You told me backstage on a school trip, you got a wank on a bus. I don't know if you wanted me to bring that up at the pavilion.
Maybe not this early in the night, but I got a wank.
Didn't get that, Aladdin.
I got a wank on the bus to Alton Towers. I should say I was in high school, by the way, wasn't primary. Yeah.
Do you have to be that tall to get a wank off at Alton Towers?
But I still remember that teacher very fondly. And
what was his name?
We're better than that. Come on, man.
I got an applause. Fuck you. Yes. Come on. There
that's
we go.
The sort of shite part of the Panto's you're having a beer.
Oh, no, it's not. Oh, see, thank you. We're having fun.
Wonder if Houdini did any of this.
Was
that a good one? Or?
Well, what I would say is that it was over very quick. And then she was like, you should have told me. And I was like, I didn't really know the etiquette for getting on.
You know. Beautiful story.
You came really quick.
I was fucking 14 or something.
Wow.
You know.
I didn't know the end. It's quite sad. Quite a sad story. It's quite a
sad
story.
We didn't get that far into the story backstage. Though.
To be fair, the bus hadn't even taken off yet. That's how Do you remember, are you getting any memorable school trip stories, Steve?
I was wondering where that was going to go. Steve at Aladdin going, that kid looks sick, get someone to wank him off, come on. He's been through enough.
I went to Barcelona with the school. Didn't get a wank, unfortunately. the school bully was there, and that was tough. I've spoke about him before on the podcast. He's a guy who stole things from me.
I love this guy.
He might be in tonight.
Because he sort of convinced you into letting him steal stuff, did he not?
He pretended it was a game. What he did was he closed his eyes, span round in a circle and pointed, and whatever it landed on, he got to have.
I bet he's a millionaire now, this guy. Like, that is really, really entrepreneurial.
This guy's now married to Michelle Moon.
So he was on the trip, and I decided to get my own back.
We're listening.
How did you do that?
So me and a couple of mates, what we did was we put crisps in his bed, spread aftershave on his pillow, poured orange juice in his sheets.
You were very inspired by Home Alone, even at a young age, weren't you?
And then we were making wee hints about it to him during the day. We were like, oh...
Fancy a little siesta.
Fancy a siesta, that sort of thing.
You'd be swearing in your sleep if you had fucking crisps in your mouth, is that for sure?
Exactly, I thought it was a good prank. And then we were saying it to him, and then he was like, oh, what the fuck have you done? So he walked up to the room, and the maid had been... So it just looked like we'd made his bed for him. We fucked it, completely fucked it.
Man.
So that was my own back on him, made his bed. You been on a school trip?
Really shite school trips at my school. Nay, we went to Panto and stuff at the Adam Smith Theatre, proper theatre.
Yeah. You got a wank?
I did not get a wank, no. Nor did I give a wank. But shite school trips. Went to the Coca-Cola plant at East Kilbride. Not to brag. But we were like too old. Nah, but it's like a bottle implant. We were like 16, 17. You like walk across this like bridge and you're just looking down at like depressed guys in forklifts on a minimum wage being like, that'll be you in a couple of years, kids. It's like, you know, when you choose a lobster from the tank, it felt a bit like that. Like, that is the life you guys are going to get.
Because it sounds like it's going to be like Willy Wonka.
Willy Wonka, but it was more like the Wonka experience. than Willy Wonka. Yeah, terrible.
Good.
By the way, thank you to House of Illuminati for doing the stage design this evening.
Should we get our first guest on, or do you have anything else to say?
I think it's probably about time that we got the first guest onto the stage, eh?
Yes.
All up for that. Do you know what his name is?
Oh, your dick.
Huh?
So where's my fucking invite?
Huh?
Is that...
It's fucking roasting up here, by the way. All right, everybody, I'm the guy that gave Mark a wank.
Is that you, Darren?
Is that you?
All right, boys.
All right, Darren.
Where's my fucking invite, you bunch of pricks?
I thought you were barred for the venue, no?
I'm not barred for the venue.
Is Darren Connell? Can we see you out the mask, Darren?
It's Darren Connell, everybody.
You will never guess what I fucking paid for a ticket tonight.
That is true.
That genuinely is.
You good seats, to be fair.
That cunt went to my school. I'm not even kidding on. All right, Shuggy. How you doing, mate? Hugh McMullen. You doing all right? As you can see, I'm fucking thriving, mate.
Darren, welcome to the show, welcome to the Pavilion. I know that you obviously had a show here that you're maybe doing in September, and I was sorry to see that it had to get cancelled.
I get fucking cancelled for Rebus. Ian Rankin.
You got bumped,
prick.
Right? You got bumped. You're meant to be on.
That's not a joke, it got cancelled. I was supposed to do a solo show at the Pavilion on the 27th of September.
Tickets are not
moved
available
for that cunt.
But you're no bitter about it, are you? No.
Aye. Also, I understand why it got moved. Like, do you know what I mean?
What's the deal with the costume?
I fucking had to sneak in through the fire exit.
Is that because of the tweets that you made after the Pavilion cancelled your show?
Aye.
Darren, I did a gig with you a couple of weeks ago and you were talking on stage about what you want to call your next show. Do you want to tell the good people here?
Yes, I do. So I'm going to do a new show next year and it's not going to be in this shithole.
Fuck, at least wait until we've been paid by them, fuck's sake.
Suddenly our mics have stopped working as well.
Aye. Jimmy Cranky's going to shoot me with a sniper. The new show is going to be called The Pavilion Shagged Me Up the Arse. Also, can I be honest? See, when that happened and it got cancelled, I was like, I'll never step foot in here again! Never! And then Mark's like, ah, do you want a chippy? I'm like, aye, alright.
No, I was sorry to hear that, Dan, and I know you were looking forward to the show and stuff, you know.
Aye, fucking rub it in, you cunt.
Because you told me that, you know, this place was quite close to your heart and stuff like that.
No anymore.
Are you trying to set him up for a joke, Jennings? Is that what's happening?
Yeah,
well, basically, we need
on.
To finish this bit, and until you say you're fucking cue, no. Dan, we can't move on.
I'm doing fucking a tight 90 minutes on here. Yeah.
This has all been an elaborate ruse to see Darren Connell stand up show.
Yeah, I'm doing my show tonight. No, it has always been my dream to dress up as Jimmy Cranky and give out sweets to all the good boys and girls.
I'm sorry you're not going to get the chance to do that.
One day, hopefully, yeah. Darren. Oh, who's this?
Oh, hello.
That's Marilyn Robinson, ladies and gentlemen.
Marilyn Robinson,
everybody.
is that you've got now?
Wait, when is it starting?
We started 20 minutes ago.
Oh, okay. Hi, everybody. I'm the quota of diversity. The only Shetlander. With a fanny.
What have you got there on your arm?
Oh, yeah, have
it looks like a luxurious bag.
Thank you for asking about what I've got. Let me show you what I've got. I've got, well, a gun.
Don't give that to Darren.
Okay. I thought you boys might need a hand with some of your show work today. So I brought one of those.
What, that looks like it's off Darren's costume. I'm not going to lie, that's quite
that looks like the same hand that wanked me on that bus down to us.
That's my phone in case I get bored. I also brought this is kind of cool but maybe illegal. This is a piece of history. This is the educational part of the show. This is a piece of
why? What?
This is a genuine piece of Edinburgh Castle.
Careful, because that could kill someone, mate. Yeah, I don't trust you.
Yeah.
Do you want to...
Throw it. That was my school bully that just said that.
And also, I think we're all thinking about the same thing. You're thinking about the tote bag, right? Okay, I'll show it to you. So, ignore the blood. This is called Some Marilyn. It's a tote bag that I'm going to sell in the break for £30 in the lobby or a kiss. But I get to choose where I kiss you. So,
this part isn't scripted, by
the
way.
Yeah, you can imagine it.
We said, Marilyn, can you come on and just sort of plug the tote bags?
Yeah. You'll be in and off in like 5 seconds, honestly. It'll be a piece of piss, just in and out, easy.
Yeah, so
brings out
that's good.
Edinburgh Castle.
If you give me a fiver, I'll let you spit on it. So,
in summary,
thank you, Marilyn,
tote bags
for joining us. The tote bags
thank
are
you.
Available.
Love Marilyn, Darren!
Yes.
It is now time to get our first guest onto the stage. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, this guy is known as the fourth laugher, basically. He's unofficial fourth host of the show. He was our first ever guest, and he is one of our good friends, as well as being one of the speckiest wee gimps on the comedy circuit. Please give a warm welcome to the Breakfast of the Castle.
I can't believe you didn't stand up for him, Stu. That
sorry,
is bang
man.
It.
Sorry, yeah, it wasn't
what
a protest.
What the fuck was that about, man?
I just... got stuck in the chair, I'm sorry, man.
Can I do a reach around handshake? How are you?
Great.
Fucking school trips.
Have you ever had a wank on a bus?
I've had a wank in so many forms of transport, it's unbelievable. Bus. Plane.
Really?
Yeah.
Not by someone else.
No.
How is supporting Frankie Boyle on tour going, Chris? Is it going?
I knew there was a reason how he was on that new podcast.
Got to wank my way to the top. Bobby by Bobby.
Did you have any memorable school trips, Chris?
I went to Garra Hill Primary.
That's Chris's bully now.
Hey, one of Chris's bullies.
There are legions. I don't know about you, big man, but when I was in primary four, I'm not saying they always took us in shite trips. P7, we went to Paris. P6, we went to Winmarleigh Hall. But in P4, they took us to Morrison's. And it wasn't even like a far away Morrison's. Wasn't it like the South Side Shawlands Morrison's? It was like the Morrison's didn't even get a bus. It was just a walk. And then my mom picked me up for school afterwards and took me to Morrison's as well. I had two trips to Morrison's in one day. It was fucking shite.
Busman's holiday.
Yeah.
What
still managed to fit
then?
In a wank in the staff room.
What were they meant to teach you at Morrison's?
Just about like the fruit. They showed us the fruit. They took us to the bakery bit, and everybody got to get a free baked item. But I've got flat feet. I'm quite slow, so I was the last one in there. I just had like a dry roll with no butter. I asked for butter, they were like, you don't get butter.
Is that why you had a wank to fill it up or something?
I remember going to Paris in P7, which was quite legit, but we were like in La Louvre, and it's like all the nicest pieces of art you've ever seen. But we were just at that age where we kept playing slaps.
What's slaps?
Like, you never played slaps? You can go like that.
It's quite high concept, Steve.
You need to explain it to me.
Do that, and then you fucking slap the other cuts hands. Oh, and we were like in front of the Mona Lisa. No looking at it, just like fucking hell.
Did you ever do happy slaps?
Happy slaps?
Yeah.
I was happy slapped.
Yeah, I could tell.
It's traumatising. I've been happy slapped a few times. I've never happy slapped anyone, unfortunately. I'd love to start tonight.
I got accused of being part of a happy slapping ring.
What was that like, sharing indecent images of happy slapping incidents?
Yeah. Pretty much, no. No, like, they were, I was filming a fight and they thought I was in on it.
Right.
They thought I was the second happy slapper because the guy does that and someone films it. They thought I was the other guy.
Yeah.
And the police got phoned into the school and they stole my phone from me.
The police stole your phone?
Aye.
That's a crime, is it not?
Yeah. I couldn't even phone the police to grass on them because they'd done it.
So they wanted it as evidence to sort of get to the bottom of this crime and they thought that you were part of the kind of...
Part of the ring? The happy slapping ring? They did.
You insist on calling it a ring, didn't you?
What else do you call it, Mark?
I can't believe you're having such bad sleep, Steve. Is it because you've been part of so much criminality? Fuck.
I think it was on the one show where Matt Baker asked David Cameron, how do you sleep at night? It's all coming together.
I used to share a bunk bed with my sister.
Hold on.
Separate bunks.
Separate bunks, okay. I did want to ask you.
And she would say that when I was asleep, sometimes I'd go, you don't love me! You don't love me! Which is the type of thing somebody would say in their sleep if they were like been in an unhappy marriage for 25 years. Not an 11-year-old. P6.
Was that about your sister or was that about your parents?
It was just about some... Just about the world, mate, honestly.
I love you.
Thanks, mate. I love you too, Stevie.
Cool. So,
Well, I think everyone at Some Laugh loves you, apart from that one guy that always says he hates you.
I love that.
But that's why, so we're going to get the next act on the stage, but we're going to keep Chris around if you want to make your way. Basically, we're just going to squeeze him onto the couch.
Do we have a chair for Chris? Are you coming out?
Come on. Get that mic. No,
we've got an extra mic for you this year. So, guys, so the next guest that we're going to get on in this section is one of our favourites. Again, it is obviously...
Your
Lingerie jacket's getting bunched up.
Man, this is my good next blazer.
Your Geno's are up close.
Touch them.
I have a feel, yeah. I felt them in the dressing room. They're quite nice.
It's just a Geno, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
These are Geno's.
Started to think this was a mistake. Right, guys, we're going to get next act onto the stage. He's a real favourite of ours, had one of our best episodes. And this, of course, is Easter Sunday. It's a time of the story of resurrection. And this last guest had a bit of trouble last year, but he's back. He's better than ever.
Sounds like he got cancelled, Mark. You can't say that.
He had a stroke, right? So, but he's back. He's fit as a fiddle. And we can't wait to welcome him to the stage. So please put your hands together and welcome to the stage, Raymond Mills!
Yes!
Beautiful, I say. Sorry. You stood up for Raymond, Stu?
Hello.
I did, yeah.
Thanks for joining us, Raymond.
No bother, where's my money? I'm just doing it for a pie.
Well, we did raise a lot of money for you after your stroke, so I was assuming you were doing this as a charity gig.
Because the thing is, when I was hospitalised, you kind of get a bevy in the hospital, right? When I was hospitalised, I was eating better and I lost a stone and a half, right? And I was feeling great and I was going home, started doing yoga and all that. So by the time he's done the benefit, I mean, raised about 20 grand, right? And I was looking fucking fantastic. I mean, so my missus went, are you coming to the benefit? Oh, I've just done 100 press-ups and a fucking yoga mat, forget it. I mean, I look fantastic. You kind of go, here you go, here you go, man. He's fuck, we're doing a benefit. Fucking come here. Looking like Tarzan, man.
Raymond, I think you could make a lot of money doing like a yoga with Adrian thing, but it's yoga with Raymond.
Oh, aye, by the way, yoga, because I think there's a lot more people my shape would benefit from it. You know what I mean? It's kind of, oh, but, ah, oh, and then all the weirdos would watch it. Usually they'll be like, yeah, fucking.
I wouldn't be jacking off watching Raymond Miles Day yoga.
Yeah, weirdos. I know what all yous youngins are like, but yous are all pure weirdos. You see, what yous grew up with pornography everywhere, right? Pornography for everywhere. I mean, we were starved of pornography. we used to find it under bushes and all that. You know, you'd rake the bin. Oh, fuck, a Scud book, you know what I mean? And it wasn't like the Scud knew. I mean, it was like you weren't sure what you were looking at. You were going, is that Salvador Dali's beard? Or a vagina?
You told me you pumped someone in a graveyard once, Raymond.
Well, I have pumped... get the shock of my life. I thought they were dead.
Salt burns down Raymond Mertz.
Because people associate sex with death and all that, don't you?
Do they?
That's what all you youngies are into, you like that. Getting your laces tied round your neck, no, no. leaving your room door slightly ajar so your dad can catch you.
It's not
when
it's
I used to have a chug back in the day, a fucking snib on the door, no bother.
Raymond, you're telling me that your dad used to work in the pavilions?
My old man worked in a pavilion in the late 70s. He never really worked. My dad was a man of leisure. He was a gentleman of leisure. He was on the incapacity benefit. Right. Because in the days, you had a bad back and he went, oh, this should never work again. But he got a bit of casual in the pavilion because he wanted free tickets to see Sidney Devine. He was a big Sidney Devine fan. And if he was an usher, he would get to see Steak and Kidney every night. But he had to work when it was... What was his name? Robert Halpern was the big hypnotist back in the day, right?
Peter Powers of his day.
Well, Peter Powers was after him, but Robert Halpern was the guy. And he used to hypnotise people and all that. We got to see the show because the old man was an usher and we'd come in. And he'd hypnotised punters, right? And he'd go, here's an apple for you, a lovely juicy apple. And it was a raw onion. They're fucking eating raw onions, man, on stage, right? Pure getting the boat and all that, right? And what happened was... He ended up in a hospital because what happened was he stood in down there, or maybe he was down there, I wasn't in, but he was beside the stage. And somebody booted an onion and it hit him in the eye, man. And he was had to go to the Royal for onion eye. And I don't think it was serious.
I don't think we'd have done a fundraiser for you if you had onion eye.
I don't know. That was a bad thing back in the 70s. I mean, that would get you invalidity for benefit.
You told me a story, Raymond, about coming here when you were wee as well.
Aye, what happened, right? In the 70s, everybody was kung fu fighting, by the way. Right? I'm serious. I'm telling you.
I've heard that song about
you. Listen, I'm telling you.
Were they fast, these cats?
Everybody was kung fu fighting, by the way. Right? Now, there was a show in here, the Shaolin Monks or something, right? I saw these guys feet. Cumbernauld or something, right? So,
the East, anyway.
Somewhere in the East, is it? or if it Falkirk or something, right? And they were doing karate, so are the Glaswegians going, oh, this, God, see the Shaolin monks, they're all batting fucking each other. Oh, I'll get a ticket to that, man. And they would go to the station, all booting each other in the head and slapping each other and stuff. I don't know. Right. I never got to see it personally, right? But I heard about it. But they had a bus parked in the lane. Uh-huh. They all came on this mad bus, right? So me and all, my brother, my wee mates, I used to stay in Barrowfield. It's just about 4 miles to the east of here. So we'd come into the town. Sorry? Taylor, two dogs. Right, I don't need any hash. Thanks very much. Right. a fellow glue sniffer down there, right? But, so what would they? Your wains, man. I mean, I was only 11 or 10, 11 or 12. I can't even. I was young. I was a kid. And we just come into the town. It was the summer. And their bus is parked. So we broke into their bus, right? They're all on the stage booting fuck each other. We broke into their bus. Because you know when all buses, the compressed air to open the door, there was a horn you pulled and it made the bus fart. And we thought that was hilarious. on, I'll show you this bus farting. Right, and it was brilliant. Now, while we're on the bus, playing with the farter, right?
What? I don't know how much I use this school for.
No, I was getting tired.
So, anyway.
It's your farter played with it.
One of my mates, there was a bag of stuff, right? He got his bag, and he looked at it, it was a bag of walnuts. Well, I didn't know, they were fucking walnuts. We didn't know what a walnut was. Oh, man, there's like a lot of dude guys' balls or something, right? So,
that's actually why they started letting people do day trips to Morrison's, just to find out where foodstuffs were.
So it was this bag of walnuts. And we're like, what are they? And we're like, fuck it. Take them, right? So we just took this bag of walnuts and we just went away, right? So we've got this bag of walnuts. They were like shrink. I can't imagine they were shrink that, but they were in the bag and we opened the bag. And so we goes, what are we going to do with these? So we started throwing them here and one of them broke and this white powder was inside it, right? Fucking right. There's the lassie of Barrowfield. And there was all this white powder in it, right? And we were like just throwing them at each other. Every one of them had all this white powder in it. You know, I don't know what it was, but we were fucking jumping about, right? Clays were covered in it. If you'd been at a fire, jump 15 feet in the air, right? I mean, I don't know if it was cocaine or whatever it was drugs, but it was clearly, they're in here noting fucking each other. And they were clearly going back in the bus and taking these walnut things. And there were drugs inside them. And we stole the drugs. We didn't know it was drugs, but we were all out of nut going, oh, that's a great fun, isn't it? That's great fun. And just covered head to toe in white powder, and it was drugs.
And much like when the police steal your phone, you can't call the police when your drugs have been stolen, I suppose.
That's right, who are you going to phone? You know what I mean?
Ghostbusters. Did you take the drugs then, eh? You were off your nut.
It was a deliberate act.
So I feel like I'm Piers Morgan giving you all the tough questions, pumping in graveyards, taking drugs.
Well, you're wearing the right suit jacket for it, don't
you? He looks smart.
Thank you. Don't know why you laughed at that, fuck's sake. That was...
No, you do. You look very smart. I mean, you've clearly... You've thought about it. Nobody else has bothered their arse.
Listen, guys, we need to get wrapping up for the break now. But listen, we just want to say, because this is basically, the plan was to record this as our 100th episode of the podcast. We have reached 100 episodes. That's an amazing achievement.
Thank you. Rock and roll, baby.
And we thought, what better way to celebrate than to get back two of our favourite guests. So we're going to have a big, massive round of applause for Chris McCarver, Boyd and Ruben Mearns.
How was your break?
Me and Stuart, we are donning are T-shirts with each other's face on it. Mm-hmm. Ian Brew actually sent them both in the post, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were on, so I thought I'd wear yours, you'd wear mine. Yeah. Steve, you never got one, did you not?
No? I didn't get one, no.
Some guy sleeping there, slagging you off, Steve.
Some cunts fell asleep, what the fuck? That was... Did you say you didn't have an XL, you wank?
That is the best, by the way, that is the best heckler put down ever, to just suggest that they're asleep at the show.
Now that me and Mark are on this couch, it feels like we're married at first sight, Australia. This is the commitment ceremony. It's been a rough week for me and Mark this week.
So we're actually going to start this section with a wee game. As you may know, me and Stuart are both going to be Steve's best man after he so lovelily asked us on the podcast, actually.
Yes. Couldn't decide which one to do, so I just said, fuck it, both of you. Both
shite
of you
back move. Yeah.
So what we thought we'd do is play a wee game, basically along the lines of, who is Steve's best man?
It's Mr. and Mrs.
Mr. and Mr.
Yes, Mr.
Master. And to host it, we need the hostess with the mostess. Please give it up for a friend of the show, Marilyn Robertson, everybody!
Will we get the paper?
I see you've misplaced your rock, Marilyn.
Oh, no, I've been away for safekeeping. I sold it to an audience member.
How much?
For a promise of a drink.
Oh.
Of blood. So, hi, it's lovely to be here. I preferred when I got to enjoy the show, but now I have to work.
Sorry. And you're not even getting paid?
Yeah, I know everyone else is getting paid, but I'm not.
No, that's not true, is it?
No, you're just getting paid half of the men, Marilyn. So Marilyn, do you want to start us off with the first question?
So question number one, get ready to write this. What animal was Steve compared to when he broke his VL? What is that?
What's a VL? What's or a... an animal?
You get animals in Shetland, Marlene, come on.
Yeah. Whales, you get whales in Shetland, don't you?
They often break their VLs with animals in Shetland, whales actually.
A VL, for the uninitiated, is a virgin lips.
I don't have those. So... Oh, there's a bonus here.
Oh.
Where did Steve break his virgin lips? Tell me when you're ready.
Okay. I've gone with cat.
Okay.
What's
cat?
And graveyard.
Oh, so graveyard.
He's compared to a cat in a graveyard.
Did you think I got off with Raymond Mearns?
Yeah, that was. That's what I was going for.
Imagine breaking your VL with Mearns.
I thought this cat was dead.
Should have gone to Spec Savers.
I went with camel.
That's a very spit in my mouth animal.
Huh?
What? Oh, okay, so I'd not like to know what virgin lips are, but...
Well, camels are... They've got the lips and they slobber about, don't they? So I thought it could be like a slobbery camel.
And I heard that... Yeah. Well, Roscoe told me that Stephen Buchanan drinks tea like a cat.
That's so true. It could
what,
be
like
that.
This?
Also,
yeah, exactly
there's
like that.
There's a comic exactly on the circuit like who once described Steve and said, he's like a little cat that can't get comfortable.
Yeah.
That's true. That was also Raymond Mertz. The real answer is a salmon. And it was in a tent in Rowarden in summer camp P7. Is that too young? That feels illegal.
And P7?
With Raymond Mertz. Can you believe it?
What do you compare to a salmon? Because when you're done, you went all pink.
No, I was just like... I don't know how to do it.
All right. Nay points then, I guess.
Nay points.
Question two.
I've picked the wrong people to be my best man.
If neither of them get any points, can I be your best man?
That is the game, yeah. That's.
Question two. We all know Steve hates beans.
I like the idea that somebody who's never seen the podcast before is like, what the fuck are they talking about?
Give me a cheer if you've never listened to the podcast, by the way. That's too many people.
Too many people.
Why the fuck are you here?
You couldn't get tickets for the Kaz Mulligan versus the property boss tonight.
Okay, we all know Steve hates beans, but what is his favourite food?
Do you know this?
I was just about to write that callback and you stole it, fuck you. That was... You're very quick, you should be on stage.
What was that callback?
Salmon.
Oh.
It's a very good joke. That it deserved more, to be fair, unlucky.
Ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
I'll put my real
meatballs. I've seen him eating meatballs 100 times. He's always eating fucking meatballs. He's never
like,
done.
I do like meatballs.
He's lying if he says anything else.
I went for Old El Paso fajita kits.
Playing the hits tonight, baby.
What's the deal with that, by the way? Has anyone noticed that?
It's mental, isn't it?
Imagine what is that? Is that fun comes in yellow boxes?
Yeah.
My box comes in yellow fun. Because I'm wearing a fun yellow outfit. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I like that.
Thank
good.
You.
Yeah, it was great.
So, no, all right, what's the answer?
Marilyn will not be hosting the One Show anytime soon.
You have definitely just written chicken.
Chicken.
Just simply chicken.
Simply yeah. Chicken.
What's in a fajita kit?
Not chicken, yeah, famously.
Yeah, exactly, famously.
Spicy
not
dust.
Chicken.
Come on, we know this phrase.
Have you never listened to my stand-up, Mark?
Should have been watching W.H. Smith at the airport as well. Chicken this is just... not looking good here, actually,
no.
To be fair.
It's a nil-nil draw.
Okay, you nah. Have to get this one.
Okay.
What's Steve's middle name?
I was hoping to find that out at the wedding. They do that, don't they? They do the middle names.
I swear to fuck, guys, if you've... If you don't know this, don't write fucking Old El Paso or is it W.H. Smith or something shite like that. Just write the real answer.
I want you to do, I've done an earnest guess.
Okay, good.
I'm trying here.
I know Jennings is cooking up some fucking joke about salmon or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I think your middle name's the Bletha.
It's an interesting concept.
Ready?
Ready. Michael? That's his middle name.
I'm going to go for either The Master or Andrew.
Andrew, fuck, that sounds right. Is that wrong as well?
You guys don't know me at
is
all.
Is it not Andrew?
Why have I asked
what,
you?
What is it?
It's Peter.
Oh,
Stephen Peter Buchanan?
Aye.
Sudden death here.
So here
sudden
we go,
death.
Fucking hell.
All we need is an answer from one of you and you can be the best man. Otherwise, it's me.
Right. Please get it right.
What phrase did Steve's grandpa falsely claim to have invented?
I know he died on the toilet.
Different grandpa.
Oh, for fuck's
sake. La 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 la.
What phrase did Steve's grandpa falsely claim to have invented?
If I don't see you through the week, I'll see you through the window.
If I don't see you through the week, I'll see you through the window.
Hey, is that right?
No, come on. If I don't see you through the week, I'll see you through the window. Hey, there you go.
Well, I guess both Steve's best men are the best.
There you go.
That'll do.
Guess that's a bit
Mario,
of a
thank you so much. Give a round of applause for Mario.
Thanks, Mario.
Thank you very much, Marilyn.
So I don't think we should fuck around anymore, should
no.
We?
No. We'll get our final guest onto the stage for the evening. We're very excited to welcome him back onto the podcast. Joined us very early on as we were still starting out, and it was one of the best and most popular episodes, I think it's fair to say. So
sure. Yes.
Well, welcome back to the stage, our guest.
Yeah, please welcome to the stage the wonderful Greg Hempel!
There you go. There you go. Take a seat.
This is like fucking masterminding.
This is great. Love the trousers, man.
Well, thanks so much.
The belters.
This is incredible. How good is their show, by the way? It's from that shed in your back garden to here. To know you. It's like,
cheers for Docs McGreg. Didn't really usually tell where we record, but it is a shed.
Listen,
the back garden.
Charlie Chaplin stood on that stage.
I know.
Yeah.
And look at him.
And Harry Houdini.
Yeah.
And I figured they get out of the toilets. Yeah.
Fred and Rose West.
Is that why you brought the glasses, Greg?
Yeah, Jeffrey Dahmer ruined these glasses for me. I thought they were really cool.
You did a show here as well, did you not?
Yeah.
With Fred and Rose, or...?
It was with Johnny Watson. It was Only an Excuse back in 1996, actually. Yeah.
Fucking hell.
A long time ago. Yeah, one of the first jobs I ever got. Tony Roper had just left, and Johnny wanted a couple of people to support him. So myself and Lewis McLeod, we came here, and they filmed the DVD here.
Right.
And I remember looking out and doing my bit, and the only face I could see in the crowd, the singular face, was Walter Smith. And he was in the front row of the balcony. He was doing this. It was absolutely terrifying.
At least they don't go full Chick Young on you and go through it.
That's how old I ran. I remember when that was getting passed around at the BBC, and it was a video cassette.
Really?
Yeah. Do I see Chick Young get ripped an asshole? By Walter Smith.
Like, I remember seeing, I think it was like a DVD extra for Still Game or Tune the Fat something, but it was like Still Game kind of started as a live show, is that right? Or you've at least done it quite early on as a live show?
Yes, we did. We filmed it around about 1997. Round about the time Chewing the Fat was starting on the radio, and we did it at all over the UK. We did it in Ireland, took it to Canada, and it was about an hour long show. We filmed the DVD in Cotiers, and it's weird because I think we talked about this in the podcast, but it was much bluer than the TV show. It was like full of fucks and cunts and all this, and, you know, and now, you know, when you watch it now, you're like, fucking Jack and Victor. But I haven't seen it for a long time, but I think you can still get it.
Aye, so it's still about you. And I think it was you and Ford and Paul Riley, who's Winston. I don't know if he was playing a different character at the time, but you were mentioning about how Paul, he's kind of like always the kind of prankster, like backstage and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, well, he used to get his back, because when we did that DVD at Cotiers, Ford had told him that they don't have the Hoovers that you haven't. You have to bring the Hoover on the plane. So he had to carry the Hoover all the way there. And so, but Paul was like, he was an absolute prankster. He's like, he would just mix lies and the truth to deceive you. He did it all the time, every day. And you can't keep your guard up all the time, you know? And we used to sit in this Winnebago, and, you know, you'd be sitting with a newspaper, and Ford came in, and he'd always point at whoever had the newspaper and say, "Who's deed?" That was his thing. He did it for 4 or 5 days. "Who's deed?" And one day I had the newspaper, and Paul was sitting next to me, and he spotted Ford coming, you know? And he went like that, "Say fat am I whipped bread." And I went, and Ford walked on and he went, "Who's deed?" And I went, "Fatima Whitbread," like that. And he was like, "What?" "What happened?" And I went, "Yeah, it's steroids or something, you know." So now I'm involved in Paul's lie, you know. And Paul didn't give a fuck if he wasn't there for, you know, like you want to be there at the moment when it's revealed and all that. Paul didn't give a shit about that. He just was like, "Let that one go, just let it go." And I swear to God, 7 years later, Ford was sitting watching Question of Sport. And he called me up and he went, "Here you cunt. You tell me if I'm a Whitbread was deed, I've just seen it on Question of Sport." So I called up Paul and I went, "Fatima Whitbread's just landed." And he went, "Yeah." He just didn't care.
Playing the long game. Because I suppose that's like before you could just Google it. Like now you could just go, "Fatima Whitbread, no, she's no DJ wank." Do you know what I mean? And just prove it. But
she was kind of the perfect thing, because you didn't see her that often, but when you saw her, that was it. You know, there she was, and she was whipped good and healthy. So you look like
Is she still alive?
Is she still alive?
Well, no, she's our next guest, actually, Fatima.
She fucking punched me.
Well, you mentioned that punch, Greg, because you mentioned as well about like getting a wee bit of road rage and stuff like that.
Oh God, I used to play Dungeons and Dragons when I was a kid, so like I yes, fantastic.
Good to see this crossover for two of our audience members.
I love the idea, you know, when I get into a car and stuff like that, it's the only place I can be a hard man, actually, is in the car. So it's like, being a hard man in the car is the cousin of the keyboard warrior, you know? And I used to love shouting and bawling and stuff in the car, and then when Still Game took off, I kind of thought, well, it's pretty uncool to do that, you know? But if you go to London or somewhere like that, you know, you're like, it's Bountiful Field, you know what I mean? You can just be yourself. Nobody fucking knows me down there, so it's absolutely fine. And I remember I was in this car with my brother, and we came up to this box junction, And this taxi pulled right across us like that. And I was like, fuck yes, excellent, here we go. And I says, I've got this, Tony. And I put the window down, and the taxi driver, just as he went past, looked at me and he went, bollocks, cunt! And I was like, we just got annihilated. That was it. We just sat on this box, Johnson, just laughing. And I was like, I'm never, ever picking a road rage fight again. Two words, slayed.
Do you know what? One time I was driving back, and it was in the summer. And know that way you're saying, like, you do get the hard man in the car, but you forget sometimes, like, when, you know, during the summer when you've got the window down, that you can still be heard when you're shouting. And there was a guy I was behind, and then he went to take a right, but he hadn't indicated, and I was just like, indicate, you cunt! And then I had to go round him, and then I noticed he'd started following me. I actually pulled in, and like, I was just going to go to the shop, and then the guy stopped, and he got his morning, and he got right, he's like, what the fuck are you saying to me? And all that. I said, you didn't indicate. He's like, I fucking did. I was like, oh no, sorry, I must have not seen it then. Like, you're still kind of like acting and stuff and going for auditions and stuff, but like, because the thing is, we'd obviously think, oh my god, like, you know, you'd get any part, because we sometimes go for things, but like, who are we? But it's not just that easy as like being, you know, Victor for Still Game, so you still need to audition and all that kind of thing.
I did, you know, I played in Still Game for 20 years, and then I got a phone call from Ashley asking if I'd play her dad, you know, and I was so thrilled, absolutely thrilled. We filmed it last August, you know, and I kind of thought, well, I've got a bit of granddad, and now I'm getting father parts, and maybe I'll get a teenager next, like some kind of fucked up Benjamin Button, you know what I mean? But no, I've been pitching loads of stuff for the last year, you know, and everything that I've pitched has absolutely just bounced. They've been like, nah, I pitched a science fiction thing, no, they didn't want that. Pitched a thing about the death of the high street, nah. And then I wrote this thing, me and my mate were talking about Balmoral, and we were like, well, how long is the Queen at Balmoral? And they're like, oh, it's 8 weeks. She's been going to Balmoral for 8 weeks, you know, like since she was a teenager. And we were like, wouldn't it be cool if the butler there had like gambling debts and rented Balmoral out as an Airbnb, you know?
That's great.
And I thought, this is a fucking good idea, you know? Yeah, thank you. Yes. And we sold it to HBO, and me and fucking Donnie were high-fiving like that. Yes, man, we're going to be partying with the wee guy out of Game of Thrones and all that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we spent a year working on this script, and then we sent it to her, and then the queen died.
And so, selfish, I know,
so the whole
bastard.
Nation went into mourning, and I was like, fucking raging, you know what I mean? The moral of the story is, do not write sitcoms about the houses of ailing, beloved 96-year-old women.
I was going to say you could just do, like, about King Charles having it, but, like, that won't last long either, yeah. I don't think.
Start writing one about George now, I reckon.
You're telling us about the first time you'd been to the BAFTAs. We've obviously got a couple of wee beers on stage in this half. We actually got the cider for Crispin, who's one of our patrons and our stalker. So thanks very much for these, Crispin. But you were saying about, like, going to the BAFTAs and, like, it was kind of like you thought you had to bring your own.
The first, it was like early 90s or something, and me and Jules were just kind of dating and stuff, and she had this agent, and the agent said, you guys want to go to the BAFTAs? And Jules was like, Greg, do you want to go? And I said, yeah, that's amazing. We don't have clothes or nothing. And she said, no, it's not the ceremony, it's just a party, you know? And so we got a taxi and whatnot, and we went along, and Jules looked out the window of the taxi and seen these fucking lights like that, and we're like, oh no, this is the fucking real deal, you know? And she had jeans on, and I had this like shitty leather jacket from Starry Starry Night on, and we got out of this taxi with two bags of carry-out. The fucking bags were jangling like that. And I swear to God, there's like, there must be photos in the archives of BAFTAs of me and Jules on the red carpet with Haddo's bags like that. I swear, never again. Don't arrive with a jangling bag at the BAFTAs.
Yeah.
Haddo's? Steve thought he was going to the BAFTAs tonight. That's why.
Yeah, exactly. That was me.
You're looking Haddo's good, man.
Thank you. You didn't actually watch the first section, and people keep saying that, and I think people are taking the piss out of me now. I'm worried.
No, me and Stuart have asked for all the guests to tell Steve he's looking good. Obviously, we were asking for some questions from the audience. Yes. We get the house lights back up, and we've got Roscoe and Mary Lane waiting in the wings, and either bit we've got Roscoe in the stalls and Mary Lane in the front circle. You guys up the top, if you ask a question, sorry, you should have bought fucking tickets earlier. Now, Roscoe, have you you got any questions for us to kick us off?
I do have one, actually. Yes, Mark.
We got that camera to follow you, and you're facing the wrong way for it, so...
I'm a live guy, Mark. I live in the moment, man. We've got a question here from Craig Wilson. Where's Craig? Is he down here or up there?
Oh, he's at the top.
Oh, he's at the top.
Fuck you, Craig. I'm lucky.
Well, I'll ask his question from then.
Yes.
The question that Craig asked was, what episode have you had to cut the most out of?
Tom Stade, we had to cut quite a lot. Yeah. Who do you think was the episode we had to cut out the most? And I'll tell you if you're right. Who?
Sam Campbell.
Sam was a tough edit. We didn't cut that. We just didn't cut a lot of weird pauses. It's only out on Patreon. Came out today.
It's good that you mentioned the Patreon episode is up because Iona Fife is in. A real tick on Twitter as well. Where's Iona?
There's a hand. Second row. There is a hand.
All right.
Marilyn,
you got her. Marilyn, you're at the top there. Can you give Iona the mic and we'll hear that?
I know
question.
You. Is the Patreon worth it?
Yeah, man.
For as little as £3 a month, you can sign up and get access to an extra episode every 2 weeks plus bonus content from all live shows, including this one you're watching right now.
So, yes.
That seems like it was a plant, by the way.
That's exactly where Walter Smith was sitting, by the way.
Do we want a surprise question?
Sure, why not? Let's go for it.
You behave now.
I'll try my best. So, on Friday, I'm moving house to... Trust me, I'm going somewhere with this. This is for Stuart. So I'm moving house on Friday to Kirkcaldy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well done.
The
what
Lang
is
tune.
The best and worst thing about living in Fife? Because I need to know.
I don't know if you want to field this one, Greg.
I'm actually moving there at the minute. Not on Friday, but I'm moving to Ely in about a week's time. Yeah.
So you'll be neighbours with Greg, that's the best part.
I think
part.
If you can afford to do it the way Greg's doing it, it'll be fantastic. But if you did it the way I would be doing it, that would be dog shit, and I would not recommend.
Also, if you're in incest, it is acceptable there.
Good luck with the move.
That's number one reason why I'm moving there.
No. I'll see you doing the Toon Centre in about a week's time.
Any more, Roscoe?
Got a good one here from Kieran White. Kieran, you down here?
Kieran White?
Oh, here you go. Do you want to ask this one? Because it's fucking disgusting, mate.
What roller coaster at Alton Towers would be the best to have a wank on?
Mark, do you want to take this?
I don't think it would beat the coach, to be fair. It doesn't really matter what it is. It's not the Oblivion, I suppose, because that's what you feel after you come.
I'd say the Pepsi Max, because it's not as good as the real thing, but... It's pretty close. I don't know where I was going with that, to be honest.
I respect Steve for trying to do like a break in the news style. Yeah.
Once again, it's giving Jason Manford.
Is Amy Liv about?
Amy Liv?
There we go. Aye.
That you was
got
my school
you got her, Marilyn? Hello, Amy. What is your question?
It's getting passed along.
I didn't really factor in how much time this would fucking take.
We couldn't really do a good run through of this with no audience members.
No, it's fine. I didn't want to ask anything. I was just...
No, hold on. The amount of time that's taking, fucking ask the question, Amy.
I'm looking at your question right now, Amy, and you did ask it.
Go on, Roscoe. What Roscoe, you ask it.
Where's CMB going after this?
She's rolled that back, actually. She's had a bit of time to think better.
Post nut clarity.
Do you fancy CMB?
No.
Well, actually, Chris has actually fucking went home.
He's gone, yeah.
He's literally went home because he couldn't be bored. He's went back to his long-term girlfriend.
That's okay. Now,
does anyone have a question for Greg?
It can't
by
be
the
only
way.
Me that wants to hear from
I feel
Greg Hemphill.
We've got Scottish comedy royalty.
Listen,
here.
We're talking about wanks
and a Pepsi Max.
That's gold, baby. Gold.
We just have time for one. Is that?
I've got a question.
It's Jeanette Cranky.
Oh my God, back from.
Does any cunt stay in Springburn? Can I get a lift home, mate? Also, who's the bird that wants to pump CMB? Because Does that kind of look like a really bad before and after? I look like a swamp version of CMB. Also, Greg, sad news, mate, Charlie Chaplin was a beast. Sorry, mate.
Sad news.
Sorry.
Sorry. You can't hear the word no in a silent film, that's all I'm going to say.
Charlie Chaplin's dead, Greg. I hate to break it to you. You'll see him in Question of Sport next week.
What's your question, Dan?
My question? How come you're living my dream? Also, I love how, like, see if I was getting a coffee in McDonald's, I would have a panic attack, but I just feel, like, really oddly comfortable here.
Are you just doing your show that you were going to do at the
Aye. Aye. So how come you're living my dream, you cunt?
Dan, we need to wrap up the show. Okay. Or we will literally be charged a lot of money.
Okay. What do you want me to do then?
I can't believe we enlisted Roscoe, Marilyn and Darren. The three least fucking reliable
Darren told
people.
Me the most heartwarming speech backstage 2 minutes before we came on this section. And he then has just come out and went, why are you living my dream, you cunt?
Do you want me to say the speech?
Yes.
I just didn't want to say it because it is quite emotional and we were doing jokes there. You know, we like some jokes. So as you could tell from earlier on...
No one in the top 2/3 can see what the fuck's going on. No idea where to look. I'm
Darren,
just trying to give him something to look
on
at.
Come on stage, Darren, come on.
No, come on stage, Darren!
There we go.
So...
Look at the hair. Like he's falling down a lift shaft. Look.
The corpse of Charlie Chaplin. So as you could tell from the start of the show, I had the dream of performing at the Pavilion. This is no funny, you cunts. Snatched away from me. I then lost my flat because of it. I booked a holiday to Greece and that got fucked. But these boys tonight made me live my dream as Jimmy Cranky. At the Pavilion. Give them a round of applause.
And listen, guys, a big round of applause for Darren Connell.
Oh,
let's welcome back to the stage all the previous guests we've had on the show, Stan. A round of applause for Greg Hempel.
Greg
Hempel,
everybody.
And thank you so much for coming to Some Laugh Live. We hope you enjoyed it. We really appreciate it. It's fucking unbelievable. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for being here.